Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Guest Speaker. Can you guys hear me okay? If I'm standing over here and I'm talking and moving around, you're going to hear me okay? Okay. Because I might get loud. Thanks for leading the song, No Tears in Heaven. That just makes me want to shout for glory every time I hear that song. That's one of my old favorite songs. I'm going to share a song with you here in just a little bit. I won't sing it, mind you, that my great-grandfather loved to sing. But I'll lead up to that in just a minute. The title of my lesson is The Message of Jesus. And those of us that have been in the Word of God for a while, we know that within that message of Jesus, there are many messages. Right? The message of Jesus is about love, joy, peace, long-suffering, salvation, truth, discipline, accountability, sacrifice, denying self, taking up our cross and following Jesus. The message of Jesus covers the full gamut of what He expects of us and certainly what He's done for us. Now, with that said, we know that message is in that wonderful book that we call the Bible. Listen to these words. My grandpa's favorite song. Great-grandfather. Give me the Bible, star of gladness gleaming, to cheer the wanderer lone and tempest-tossed. No storm can hide that radiance peaceful beaming, since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible when my heart is broken, when sin and grief have filled my soul with fear. Give me the precious words by Jesus spoken. Hold up face lamp to show my Savior near. Give me the Bible, all my steps enlightened. Teach me the danger of these realms below. That lamp of safety o'er the gloom shall brighten. That light alone the path of peace can show. And then the ultimate favorite verse of this song. Give me the Bible, lamp of life, immortal. Hold up that splendor by the open grave. There's our hope beyond this life. We hold up that splendor by an open grave. The grave is not the end of our life. It's just a change for us. We sing No Tears in Heaven. We know where we're going. There is no doubt. Show me the glory gilding Jordan's wave. Give me the Bible, holy, messy, shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. That's the Bible. And if we're going to get to heaven, we've got to have the book. And we've got to be in the book. Okay? It teaches us about God and about Jesus. There are many messages out in the world today, and many of these messages are not sharing the full picture of what the message of Jesus is. We've had prayers this morning about those that are really suffering in this world, who are holding up that light and are suffering for it. And Jesus taught us in His Word that we would suffer when we follow after Him. So it begs us to maybe think a little bit, if I'm not suffering much, am I really holding that light and showing the difference in this dark world? It's something for us to think about. You know, back in 2014, there was a coach, and he lived his Christian life in a way that he brought Christ right into his coaching ethics, right into his program. So much so that there was this FFRF, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, challenged him, wanted to take him to court. wanted to take him to court, said he was actually violating the Constitution of the United States. And at any rate, he said, go ahead. It's all optional. But he says, I'm going to do this because this is who I am. Listen. When ESPN's cameras caught up with him during the celebration, he was asked about describing the joy of the moment. I'm going to tell you what the moment was. The man's name, the coach, is Dabo Swinney. He just won the national championship. And they asked him about the joy of the moment. Here's what he said. Well, that's been, he says, the joy of the moment. He says, well, that's been my word all year, Swinney began. And I've tried to be intentional with that. And for me personally, joy comes from focusing on Jesus other than myself. That's what we were studying this morning in our class. Focusing on Jesus. Living our lives for Jesus. He was asked later in another press conference about his faith and why it was in his program. Here's what he said. Me personally, it's hard to survive and thrive in this world if you don't have a spiritual foundation and have something that you can hold on to that will give you peace, because life is hard. We're all going to experience death and failure and setbacks and disappointments and cancer, and it's just a really difficult world. He goes on to say, trust me, people that know me know I ain't perfect. But I do try to live my life in a way that hopefully can be pleasing to my Maker, because I know I'm going to meet Him one day. He's not going to pat me on the back and talk about how many wins I had or how many Coach of the Year trophies we got or show how much money I made. I really think He's going to hold me accountable to how I took advantage of the opportunity that He gave me and the blessings that He gave me, the impact that I had on young people, the type of men that we developed through the program. Now, I admire him for standing up and saying this. We need more people doing that. Okay? We need more people doing that. And what I mean, I need to do that. You need to do that. You know, the things that he has going on in his program, they have devotions and Bible studies regularly through the week. And when he was criticized about this, they said that you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be using college facilities there at Clemson to baptize players. They've been baptizing the players. And he says, well, it's all optional. He says, I'm sharing who I am. And Clemson University backed him up. And I thank God that they did. This is what we need in our world. People who believe in God, standing up for Jesus, and sharing the message of Christ, and leading them to Christ. I really was happy to hear about this. And I thought, well, I'm going to do a little research on Mr. Dabo Swinney. And that's when I found out that this Freedom From Religion Foundation had tried to take him to court back in 2014. And Clemson University says, we don't have a problem here. And so it was dropped. Our reading this morning is taken out of John chapter 6. And I appreciate Curtis reading that. And the context of this has to do with Jesus describing how that He is the bread of life. And He's explaining this to the multitude. And there's actually a point, if you go back and read in John 6, where once He tells them, He says that I'm the bread of life, at first many of them said, man, give us that bread so we can always have it. But when Jesus goes on to further explain how that they need to be protectors of Him, and He actually says, you need to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Well, that was a hard saying to a lot of them. They didn't understand He was speaking spiritually, that they needed to follow after them. And so many of them, and this is why from our reading, starting at verse 66, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. Now, the point I want to make about this is that this is nothing new. There will always be those who, when they first hear the message of Christ, think, man, that's just what I need, until they find out the rest of the story. And then decisions are made. But notice what Peter had replied. Lord, after he asked them, are you guys going to go away too? He says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Greatest confession we have made in our lives. Okay? Normally we think about this confession before we were baptized, but the confession is an expression of our lives from that day forward. When we came up out of those waters of baptism and we rose to walk in newness of life, now we begin to confess Christ as the Lord and Savior of our lives by how we live. Many people today want to hear the soft, loving, kind, warm, and fuzzy messages within the Word of God. Okay? And I deliberately listened to several different programs over the last month, last few weeks, knowing I was going to present the lesson. And, of course, I was totally disappointed by the messages from many of the stuff that I was hearing on TV. It's one-sided. It's all about love and what God's going to give you, okay? Nothing about responsibility, nothing about repentance, nothing about putting away or walking away from your sinful lives. You know, there's a lot of crusades that are done that are just full of this warm and fuzzy stuff. TV programs are full of it. The radio's full of it. Concerts are made, get all kind of people in, okay? A lot of money spent to do this. But the gospel message has become distorted. Okay? And we need to be on guard that we're not guilty of distorting it ourselves. Now, one thing I will say, and I love this about the congregation here, is we'll tackle any subject that we find in the Bible. In fact, we'll even say, you know, I'm not sure that I quite understand what this means, but here's what I think. And we'll try to work on it together. I love that kind of humility because we don't all have all the answers. But we need to be humble as we seek after God. And when what we believe to be the truth, then we need to stand for that truth. People want to feel good. You know, they want to be made to feel good. It's all about feelings. And for years, what we hear about feelings is they're just wanting people to express their feelings all the time. Well, that's completely foreign to the Word of God. You don't go expressing your feelings, how you feel every minute on every little subject. Proverbs 29:11, only a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man holds back. You can imagine, I'll call my boss on the phone tomorrow morning, just tell him, hey, Scott, I'm really not feeling well today. I just don't feel like coming in. Are you sick, Steve? No, I'm not sick. I just don't feel like coming in. How do you think that's going to fly? Okay? Well, when I do show up to work and he wants to have a discussion with me about, you know, this situation, and I'm thinking in my mind, well, you know, you're a jerk for talking to me this way, and I just say, you know, Scott, I think you're a jerk. Well, that'd be smart to do that, wouldn't it? With all of our EEO laws and stuff? Yeah. But that's our world today. It's all about expressing how we feel at the moment. Twitter is the worst thing that ever was invented. Okay? Now, yes, I have an account. But the only thing I read is when a few friends post something about their family. And I'll tell you what I don't do. I don't let my anger get a hold. I do get angry from time to time. Do you? Okay? You know, the Bible teaches us that we're to be angry and sin not. Amen. I can be angry, but I'm not supposed to sin in my anger. Okay? But if we are on Twitter, young people, I'm talking to you. And some of you older folks out there too. You get mad and you start spewing and giving your comments and hatred and anger. You are not being a light. You're joining in with people and you're demonstrating that you're just like the world. And this is exactly what Christ has caused us to come out of. We're not to act that way. And by the way, if you've got your cell phone on right now, I hope you're following along into scriptures. But if you're playing games, shame on you. Okay, you say, boy, Steve, you're really getting tough this morning. Well, you know, I got news for you. We came here to worship God and honor Him. Okay? And if your feelings are hurt, I'm not going to apologize to you because you have hurt feelings. You shouldn't be playing games. You should be paying attention and seeking after God's goodness and grace. This is why we're here. You know, this is how Jesus used to talk to many of His believers. He just called them out on stuff. You know, oh, Steve, that was kind of rude of you to do that. It wasn't rude, it was honest. You know, being honest with you. You know, I remember a time years ago when I was a kid and you come into the assembly, everybody knew what time services started. Okay? And there was always a lot of talk, but man, you didn't have to flip a light or put up a watch up here to tell people it was time to be quiet or shut up and sit down. Okay? But now, today was great, by the way. Thought we did really good. But you know what? In a lot of congregations, they're flipping the light several times. People are getting up here. They're ready to start and speak. And people are still standing and talking. And we make excuses. We actually make excuses. Well, you know, they're really enjoying each other. Well, that's wonderful. But did you know that we actually came here to focus on the Lord, and when we get ready to start, we shouldn't have to beg and plead for you to close your mouths and sit down. Really, is that the only amen I'm going to get on that? You know what's happened? The world has crept into our church, and we don't want to admit it. We get so focused on what we're doing, we don't consider one another. And the Scripture actually tells us, we are to consider one another. Well, when it's time to start, how about considering the fact that we know what time it's going to start and we get ready and we get started? Instead of people having to beg, hey, close the door, okay? I'm just saying that. Think about it. Think of what we're doing. Just a simple thing. Okay, rant over. Now, let me read you a few scriptures that are... How much time do I have, by the way? Do I get to go to noon? I mean, what time did I start? Like 25 after? I get at least 30, right? I'm watching. Well, we just may have to do that. A lot of messages out there of Jesus, and they're one-sided in how they're twisting or using these scriptures to mislead people. Okay? Let me take a drink before I start reading. I'm going to go quickly through these. Psalm 20, verse 4. May God, grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. Psalm 34, 7. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 103:5, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? Psalm 145:19, He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. Now the New Testament, Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it will be given you, seek, you will find, knock, it will be opened you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Matthew 21:21-22. So Jesus answered and said to them, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. There it is. Health and wealth gospel. Get whatever you want. Come to Jesus. All you got to do is believe. Really, just all you got to do is just acknowledge Him. And God's going to bless you. He's going to give you your heart's desire. And that's preached from many pulpits. Not here. Thank God for that. Not here. But here's the thing. There's more to the story. As soon as I can get this to go to the next one. These are the messages that a lot of TV evangelists want to preach today. And everybody loves to hear it. And don't misunderstand me. These messages from the Word of God are true and accurate. But we can misrepresent what they're saying. You know? We pray to God. Ask what you will. But we know from James chapter 4 that there's a little caveat about that prayer, isn't there? It says, you know, you can ask and you don't receive because you ask with the wrong desire, wrong motives. We're asking selfishly, okay? You know, in other words, hey, God, you know, if you let me win the lottery, you know I'd really be good with that money. You know me, God. Now, right about this time, God's up there laughing at me. Because God does know me. And He knows what I would do with that. I would probably waste it on the desires of my heart, and that's what James 4 says. That's why God's not interested in that kind of stuff. In fact, God's probably still chuckling because He says, Steve, you don't get it because the fact that you're asking to even win the lottery, you've missed it. Okay? That's not what our lives are about. We focus on Jesus, and He will bless us in many ways. And it happens to be, if it happens to be financially, then you know where it came from. All the good blessings come down from the Father of light. Y'all learned this in my class when we studied about creation. Okay? God's created this wonderful, beautiful universe for us. He's already blessed us for us to enjoy His creation. But what He has in His message is so that He can redeem us and save us from our sins. God does want to bless us. The problem comes when hard times hit. When we feel like, you know, Lord, I'm living the best I can for You, but things aren't working out. It's one hardship after another. How do you deal with that? Well, there's plenty of brethren in this congregation right now that have dealt with hardship. And I might just add, they've been a wonderful example to the rest of us. They don't know that I was going to bring this up, but I am. Brother Roger and Sister Judy, with what you guys went through in the last year. I mean, Roger had lost a job and Judy got cancer. And things were just like, and everybody was, we all hurt for you. And many of our brethren have went through various trials and tribulations. And when we do, we hurt for each other and we pray for each other. But you know what I love the most? Is that they stood for God the whole time. And it just thrills my soul to see you guys hanging on to little Reese now and enjoying that baby. Okay? We have our trials and our tribulations, and then we have these wonderful blessings. You know, I heard a fellow make a comment about grandchildren, that they're God's blessing for you for not killing your children. God does work in mysterious ways. But anyway, brethren, I want us to know that there's many, we can look around and we can see a lot of good godly examples. And I'm just now noticing Ken Carpenter and Sister Judith. It's so good to see you all here. Wow. See, I do try to look out over the audience sometimes. Yeah, the tough part about living for Christ is when we know and we can be assured that God is with us and blessing us. And that's why I'm so thankful to study James from time to time, because he reminds us that when we go through these trials, that he's intending that for our good. But we're not to lose sight that Satan's right there on the other side trying to give us to give up on God. Okay? So it does matter. There's much more to God's message that we need to understand, and how He wants to bless us and how He desires to bless us. But Jesus went to the cross and sacrificed His life for us. What we need to understand that Jesus wants us to take up our cross and follow Him. Okay? And that requires us, in following in His footsteps, to live a sacrificial, humble life just like He did. And the thing of it is, He's, you know, the song, Precepts and Promise, Law and Love Combining, we have all kinds of promises that we've been given, these spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. We have this Holy Spirit indwelling us to strengthen us and to help us. We've got to put our faith and trust in God that He's going to work through us. But we've got to be willing to trust Him completely. Paul put it this way in Galatians 2, verses 19 through 21. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. In other words, he doesn't just reject God's kindness. He says, for if righteousness comes through law, then Christ died in vain. See, it's not about law keeping. The reason I keep law is because of what God already did for me. Okay? He asked me to follow in His steps. Let me read a few scriptures here to kind of wrap this up and tie in this point of how we need to be sacrificial. We need to be denying ourselves, because this is where many people in the world, once they start hearing this side of the message of Christ, they'll walk away. Those that really want to seek after Him are going to love this, because the real joy and peace comes in this kind of sacrificial living. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Matthew 10, 38. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow me doesn't deserve to be my disciple. Matthew 16, 24 and 26. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Luke says, take up your cross daily. And he goes on to say, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. It's just another way of saying, if I'm trying to save my life, I'm focused on my will and not God's. And I'll lose my life when I do that. But if I'm seeking after God's will, I'm putting my will aside, and that's where I have eternal life. What profit is it if a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, in Luke's account, when he's talking about this same context, he adds in, remember Lot's wife. Now think about this for a minute. Remember what happened to Lot and his family? They were in Sodom and Gomorrah, most evil, sinful, wicked place there was. And God had had enough. So he told Lot and his family, you need to get out. Get out of town. He gave one instruction. Don't look back. What happened to Lot's wife? Turned to a pillar of salt. Now here's the thing. Okay? When Almighty God speaks from above and says, don't look back. Don't look. He says the same thing to us. Don't go back to your old life. That's why we're told time and time again to keep our eyes and focus on Jesus. See, we have this great cloud of witnesses who set a wonderful example for us. And we need to be setting aside those things that would hinder us in our race and looking to that author and finisher and perfecter of our faith, you see. Luke 14, 25 through 33. Now great multitudes with him,
I went with him. And he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Who's first in our lives? It's got to be Jesus. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he's laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. What king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he's able with 10,000 to meet one who comes at him with 20,000? Or while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for conditions of peace. So likewise, he says, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. These are hard sayings. We, brethren, we can't forget these are here. These are part of the message of Jesus as well. In fact, come February the 3rd, Sunday evening, if you want to hear some more severe messages of Jesus, show up, because I'm supposed to do a lesson on Matthew 28, and I'm going to do a little review just on the hard sayings that Jesus has just in Matthew. And man, there's a lot. A lot of hard sayings. We don't always hear them. We've got to deny ourselves. We've got to take up our cross. And we've got to follow Jesus. Let me close with this. The message of Jesus has a ton of wisdom for us on how to live in this life. Philippians is a great book to study. So is Ephesians. But let me read this from Ephesians, because Ephesians chapter 4 begins with a reminder to us, because he's talking to Christians at Ephesus, Paul is. He begins with a plea, and that plea should be ours too, that we walk worthy of the calling that we have in Christ Jesus, with all lowliness, gentleness, and humility. And he goes on in that chapter to warn us not to go back to our old life. Listen to this, starting at verse 25 of Ephesians 4. Therefore, put away lying. Let each of you speak the truth with his brother, for we are all members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. You see, you give place to the devil when you let your wrath linger into the night and you allow it to fester. That's when the devil's going to take advantage of it. That's why we need to get rid of it quickly. We need to deal with whatever the issue is. Then he says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. I believe we need to be reminded of these things. We need to be reminded that if we're seeking the kingdom of God first in our lives, we want to live that abundant life which is promised to us right now. And we want to have that promise that Jesus has given to us of a heavenly home. Then our plea must be, give me the Bible. The lesson is yours. If you need to respond in any way, just please come forward. We'll have one of the elders up here. It's a mean, cruel world that we're living in, but it doesn't have to be when we're letting our light shine and show folks that there is a better way. So thank you for your time.